Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Harry Enten, who had some interesting polling numbers Saturday morning on CNN after the Trump-Zelensky tussle on live television this past Friday. We'll get to that. And also Frank Luntz's polling. So I'm going to give you two different sets of data points here with where America stands as a nation, where the Republican Party stands, and what we think about the war as well as Zelensky. And that's coming up after Dawn's news, round number two here at 7:04, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale and Company News Live, this Monday morning, March the 3rd, and we are sponsored by Natural Lawn of America. We have talked, over the weekend, you know, wildfires erupting across South and North Carolina with evacuations ordered. But closer to home, we have a third wildfire, this in New Jersey, as we know that 34 structures have been threatened as fires burn. This is Hopewell Township, but the state's Forest Fire Service saying that wildfires have been burning around Poor Farm Road. This is Hopewell Township, Mercer County, threatening those 34 structures at least, burning hundreds of acres. It looks like it's mostly contained. We also had Gloucester Township firefighters extinguishing a large fire that scorched 40 acres. The issue here is the wind. So firefighters making progress on a different one. That was Fort Mott State Parks in Pennsville, Salem County. And that one burned 50 acres. So firefighters trying to beat these wildfires. But this is the third one in just a couple days here that they're still trying to get this thing under full control.
Do we have any news on whether or not South Carolina, North Carolina, or New Jersey mayors left the country during the wildfire or before the wildfire to attend a presidential inauguration in the third world country?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No? Okay.
Not so much.
Good. Good look for them. Way to stay.
We've been talking this morning about this case where a family in the Mayfair section of Philadelphia, a family was, and these are row homes, but a family held at gunpoint by these, you know, masked gunmen, four guys, full on ski masks, break into the family's home, getting away with $19,000 in cash, $25,000 worth of jewelry, along with the family's iPhones. The family home, the row homes, like I say, 3200 block of Cottman Avenue in Mayfair. And so the family traumatized. Their youngest son is 15 years old, but it's a family with a 15-year-old and then adult kids in their 20s. And so the parents, they survived this, obviously. They fully cooperated, but they took the family members into separate rooms, just a terrifying situation, robbing them and getting away, tying the family up. But the family then calling the police. And so they're looking at surveillance video, police hoping to release some images of these bad guys.
Yeah. Hopefully there's a doorbell cam out there within the vicinity.
Scary situation for sure. By the way, the Pope is doing much better. So he's off of he's breathing on his own. That's the latest from the Vatican. As we think about, you know, this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, as we come into the Lenten season, the Easter season, Pope Francis resting well overnight. That's the latest from the Vatican. And so they said that he's off of the breathing apparatus. Good news there.
Yeah. Every time I hear Pope, I'm such an infant. Every time I hear Pope, I just think of Sean Farish talking about Biden when he went to visit the Pope.
Oh, jeez.
Such a juvenile.
Eek. And so we also we're watching very carefully this case of measles. This is making national news. The fact that this is the first measles case in Pennsylvania in a number of years. But in this case, public health officials in Montgomery County releasing the information confirming the case of measles in a child who was not vaccinated. We are not being given the child's hometown, the age of the child, nothing like that. We know that the family had recently traveled internationally, came back via JFK Airport Terminal 4, arriving North Philadelphia aboard the China Airlines Airport shuttle bus.
So am I to assume they went to China?
It sounds like that.
Okay, well, here's what we got.
They're not giving much information about it.
This is just like I said a week or so ago on this show. After the new strain of COVID was found in the lab in China, here's what we got to stop doing. We just need to cut everything off from China as far as travel. First of all, what are we going to China for in the first place? Every time somebody goes to China, disaster happens and brings something back. I'm going to be like Greg Stocker here. I mean, stop going to these disgusting other countries. Can't you just stay in Montgomery County? What was wrong with staying in Bluebell? Is there anything wrong with Bluebell besides 202 and the taxes and the Ukraine flags in people's yard? Other than that, nice little place.
Well, we don't know the residency of the child, the patient, right?
Could be anywhere in Montgomery County.
Or, I don't know, if they live in Philly, do they go to a pediatrician in Plymouth Meeting? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have that information. It's just that the big concern here is that the child went to True North Pediatrics in Plymouth Meeting, not too far from the Plymouth Meeting Mall, if you know that area, on Walton Road. And then also, that was February 25th. On the 26th, they went to the CHOP KOP campus to that emergency department. And so in that case, the child obviously by then was very sick. They're asking people if during those dates you were at any of those spots, and especially let's say you have a newborn baby or you're, you know, for whatever reason, immune compromised, et cetera, they're putting this word out because that would, for a newborn baby, that could be, you know what I mean? That right there, that's, I can tell you the biggest concern.
I saw a report too that if you were born between 57 and 62 or sometime in that age range, they're actually telling you it might be beneficial to get revaccinated for the measles, mumps, and rubella or whatever that
MMR
thing is, because it wanes over time. Yeah, because people born before then didn't get it because most of them
had it.
Like my mom had it,
mm-hmm.
And then once you had it, you can never get it again, is what they say.
What's weaker, the MMR vaccine that is apparently worn off from 57 to 62? Or MMR's YouTube stream. Oh, it's a different MMR.
Yeah, so, you know, I would say just check with... It depends on your exposure as well.
Yeah.
And so you just, you know, have a chat with your doctor's mm-hmm. office. You can even email them through... Everybody has an app nowadays.
Yeah.
But they're just telling people, be on the alert of this. And especially if you... I remember years ago, we're all vaccinated, but we saw this kid down the shore in Ocean City clearly getting over... measles.
Yeah.
It was like a teenager. I don't know what they had, but I was just like, you know what I mean? We're like, we're out of here.
Does it distinct?
We were fully vaccinated. I was just like, you know, I don't know what that kid has, but we're out.
I've never seen somebody that actually had it, so I don't even know what it looked. I mean, is it noticeably different than chicken pox and poison and things like that? I mean, if you see somebody with measles, do you automatically say, oh, that kid's got measles?
Well, online you can look. There are pictures everywhere now that they're showing.
Yeah,
and like I say, down the shore in Ocean City, I don't know what the person actually had.
Yeah.
It just, they had a major outbreak.
Does the salt water dry that up?
Yeah, I don't know. But I was like, bip, we're out.
So my grandmother used to tell me, oh, Nikki, you got poison sumac. Get in the ocean.
God.
It'll dry it out.
Your grandma's not wrong, by the way.
I know.
It's a very,
it's true.
The ocean does a lot of good healing.
Yep, absolutely.
The problem with measles in particular is that it goes airborne. Now, does it die in the, here we go with COVID stuff, does it die in the intense sunlight?
Right.
But it can remain even in the air for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the concern here is if somebody's been, you know, if they're infected and it's active and they're in a restaurant or in a public place, then and you're susceptible for whatever reason, or like I say, you have a newborn baby,
mm-hmm.
that old story about, oh, newborn babies, they have their mothers. No, they don't have immunity.
Okay.
They don't.
Yeah. All these little kids spreading diseases. We should just get rid of kids. Seriously, my immune system was rock solid the last couple of years.
So looking at the, I don't know if you're into the Oscar winners, but Neon's Anora, and its filmmaker, Sean Baker, they won. This was a major upset as an outsider really steals the show and steals all the trophies at the 97th Academy Awards last night. They took Anora is the name of it, five trophies, including Best Picture, Director, Original Screenplay, Editing, all for Baker, and Best Actress for Mikey Madison. Yeah. So a real upset for Demi Moore, who did not get the Best Actress nod, and I guess Ronald Reagan as well. Reagan didn't even get in there.
Yeah, what was Phil sent us something about the Reagan movie last night. It was a link group text. It was snubbed from everything?
Snubbed because it was snubbed because they have a DEI directive, if you will. And so if you don't comply with that to have, what is it, 25-30% of all of, you know, to have all the DEI.
So the Reagan.
Is that true?
They have a directive.
Okay. So if your film does not adhere to a DEI casting practice,
research on that one.
You cannot be nominated.
Spout that out.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Well, what's the? You guys are all about the Oscars. What was the thing that Phil sent us last night about the awards? I responded back. I'm not watching. I'm at my girl's.
I know that was funny.
Yeah. The New York Post. Fan favorite Reagan biopic misses Oscar's Best Picture consideration over DEI requirements. So in order, according to the New York Post, if your movie, if you're the director, the producer, whoever comes up and creates these movies, if you don't adhere to some sort of DEI practice.
Yeah, it's on the Oscars.org thing.
So
standard A, on-screen representation, theme, and narratives. A film can achieve the standard by meeting the criteria in at least one of the following areas. Lead or significant supporting actor from underrepresented racial or ethnic groups. At least one of the lead actors or significant supporting actors submitted for Oscars consideration is from underrepresented racial or ethnic groups in a specific country or territory of production.
So Reagan should have been played by somebody other than a white guy.
If it was a black Ronald Reagan, it would have won.
It would have swept the board last
night.
See,
this may have included African-American, a black African or Caribbean descent, East Asian, Hispanic or Latina, indigenous people, Middle Eastern, Pacific Islander, South Asian, Southeast Asian.
Coming up in the new Reagan biopic, Jackie Chan stars as Ronald Reagan.
A2, general ensemble cast. At least 30% of all actors not submitted for Oscar consideration are from at least two underrepresented groups, that being women, racial or ethnic groups, LGBTQ+, people with cognitive or physical disabilities, or who are deaf or hard of hearing.
In Reagan, 80 through 88, a female portrays the role of Ronnie Reagan.
So they do have it.
They do have
DEI.
Main storyline subject matter. The main storylines, themes, or narratives of the film. And by the way, this is all off the Oscars website. Main storyline, theme, or narrative of the film is centered on an unrepresented group, women, racial or ethnic group, LGBTQ+, and people with cognitive or physical disabilities.
I think we talked about this. It went into effect year or two ago.
Yeah.
But I wonder now that DEI is illegal, are they allowed, like, you know what I mean? Is there going to be pushback? Because you had a lot of films, and the Reagan was not even, if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, there's another movie that was a fan favorite. I just think that having seen, you know, the Bob Dylan epic movie and some of the other ones, I will just say this one, I am shocked that this is what got Best Picture.
In Ronald Reagan 2, coming to theaters in the summer of 2026, Reagan's VP, played by George H.W. Bush, will be represented by a one-legged transgender member from Cambodia.
It would have swept then. It's unbelievable. The problem with the Oscars is it's never about movies that people have seen. Nobody's seen.
That's what I was going to say. And I'm not I am not a movie buff by any stretch. So there could be greatness out there that goes completely undetected by yours truly. But I see these movies that win awards, and I'm like, I don't remember seeing an advertisement for it. I don't remember seeing promos. You mentioned, but you call her Demi Moore. Is that how you say it? I always thought it was Demi Moore.
Dummy. Dummy
Moore. It was Ashton Kutcher's better half.
Dummy Moore.
So,
well, Bruce Willis is.
Yeah, she originally married Bruce.
Yeah.
And sadly, Bruce is in a bad state of affairs with his, I think, was it dementia? I think
it's, it's like that. But
yeah.
It's a horrible disease, neurological disease.
You mentioned her movie that she's in. I have no acknowledgement of this movie.
Yeah.
It was a horror movie, though, and horror movies usually don't win, but the one that won was a horror movie.
Okay.
I mean, really.
You said horror movie, not a horror movie.
Yeah, right? Yeah. H-O-R-R-O-R.
Demi Moore's was a H-O-R-R-O-R movie.
Gotcha.
The one that won was a W-H-D-D movie. And they're calling it a Cinderella story. Well, if Cinderella was a, that's what it would be. I mean, it's X-rated.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. If you saw it, it's. They said the F word hundreds of times, and they did the F word. I mean, it was oh my goodness.
Well, Demi Moore was great in that movie back in the 90s where she was a stripper.
Striptease,
yes.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
The other one that won, I guess, DEI, was Emilia Perez. That was the other movie that won big time.
Huh.
Remember, we played clips of that one?
That's the movie that she had some interesting social media posts, right?
Yeah.
So she's... She was, I'm surprised. Did she win anything?
She did.
Okay. I'm surprised they didn't snub her.
Mm.
Yes.
Right?
Why did she say something unpopular on Twitter?
Well, they were criticizing her. Remember this is the one we played the clip where they're literally celebrating like DEI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But she's the one of Dominican heritage. So they're singing and speaking in Spanish.
Yeah.
However, it was getting panned for the fact that it wasn't very good. You know, it was not really, if you are a native tongue, that it was not really, it was not great Spanish.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Like the accent and so on. They were, right? That was the criticism.
Oh. That was the criticism? Sounds like a YouTube chat complaint. Hey, accent's a little off there, Bill.
All right, let's move on.
But A Complete Unknown, Conclave, they were leading nominees. They got, you know. Shut up.
I'm glad I missed. I missed nothing last night.
Nothing.
All right.
No,
great.
You didn't. Yeah.
Great.
I'm just. See, you don't have to watch. We're going to tell you everything.
I don't want to watch anything anymore. There's nothing that appeals to me anymore. I'm 41 going on 80. The glory days of content are long gone.
So the forecast, we're in the 20s. Feels like it's in the teens. 41 degrees. The high today, bright sunny skies. Then the warm-up begins. Tomorrow for your Tuesday, 56 degrees, bright and mostly sunny. Wednesday, 62, but with some stormy, rainy weather moving through. Thursday, 52 and partly sunny. Friday, rounding out the work week with 50 degrees and bright, sunny skies. So milder weather is on the way tomorrow. Just get through today a bit blustery. Natural Lawn of America, from organic fertilizer to safer weed and insect controls. Natural Lawn, making sure your lawn thrives naturally. Season after season, choose Natural Lawn. Get free seeding every year. 800-FREE-SEED. That's what you call, 800-FREE-SEED. Thank you, Natural Lawn of America. Natural Lawn of America, for sponsoring our Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. I'm going to hold on to the Harry Enten clip on Ukraine, as well as the Frank Luntz polling data. We'll save that for when we round back to that in the cut sheet, if we're commenting on anything Trump-Zelensky-wise. But when we come back, before we get to Harry Mays and the cut sheet, which is just over 20 minutes away, five theories that could explain why the Epstein files have not been fully released. And are we even going to hear another peep about the Epstein files after Friday's blow-up? We'll get into that. And if we have time, also, Phil Omquist's DEI boycott tour. We'll do that on the other side as well. But first, a couple of notes. 7 a.m. hour is brought to you by the Philadelphia Boat Show. The boat sale of the year is back. The Philadelphia Boat Show coming up March 14th through 16th at the Expo Center in Oaks, where top tri-state dealers are ready to deliver saltwater fishing boats, pontoon party boats, ski boats, bass boats, PWCs, and more. See phillyboatshow.com for details and for tickets. But maybe you're not in the market for a boat, but you could be looking for a vehicle. Could I suggest the Piazza Auto Group, specifically Mercedes-Benz, with three convenient locations in Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City, where they combined luxury with performance across the full line of sedans, SUVs, coupes, roadsters, and more. From the powerful engine of the 2025 C-Class sedan to the impressive towing capacity of the 2025 GLE SUV, you will find a luxury vehicle that meets your needs. Schedule a test drive behind the wheel of your dream Mercedes-Benz or shop Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City online today at PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. That's PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. And tell them.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Dick sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep.
What we were talking about on Friday, based on what did not come out on Thursday, which was Pam Bondi and the Jeffrey Epstein files, the revelations, the binders that all the grifters got, which was really what all of us already knew from 2021 and multiple years ago. But I thought this was interesting, and this comes courtesy of Glenn Beck, and he posted five bullet points of the five theories that might explain why the Epstein files haven't been fully released. And I just want to go through these five. There's also a good column in the Miami Herald titled The Epstein Files, What is Public and What is Still Secret. It's a longer form article, but we'll go through some of the things that are still secret that we as Americans would like released. We'll get to that on the back half of this conversation. So let me just go through these five theories and let's see which one we as a show think is the most likely explanation as to why we have not been fully informed as to what the government knows. And again, these are Glenn Beck's thoughts. Number one, someone in the Trump administration is protecting friends who are on the list. Do we find that to be a somewhat very likely scenario? I want you to think about that for a moment. Somebody in the Trump administration protecting friends who are on the list. Number two, he says another theory could be rogue FBI and SDNY feds are actively withholding documents, as AG Pam Bondi claimed. That's number two. Number three, the administration is using the controversy to gather support for mass firings at the FBI and SDNY. Number four, Bindergate was just a combination of incompetence and overpromising. Glenn Beck says, hopefully not. So far, the administration's track record wouldn't support this theory. And then lastly, this is one that we did float out on this show on Friday. Maybe the Epstein conspiracy theory is just that, a conspiracy theory that we already have all the answers to, and there's nothing left to uncover. Now, I find that one to be very hard to believe. I think a lot of the speculation, there is merit to it. I don't know if it's insert name X 100%. It was, you know, Bill Gates, Bill Clinton, whoever is on that list of the odds that I gave you last week. Bindergate, I mean, is that a rush to judgment? There's a lot of people that have claimed that this is going to take weeks and weeks and weeks, if not months and months and months. So did Pam Bondi campaign on, so to speak, putting this out, and then starts to hear the public saying, when's it going to come? When's it going to come? So she gives you what she has, and it's not what you wanted. Is this the administration going after the FBI and the SDNY, or is this somebody protecting somebody on the Trump side where it's, hey, there might be two or three people in this administration that are going to show up in a negative light. We need to protect those people at all costs. Is there one that stands out to you of the five that Glenn Beck has tossed out as possibilities? I think these are all remotely possible. I think every one of these, would I be stunned or shocked if any of these five end up being the truth? The answer is no for me. I would not be shocked by anything. Maybe I'm just a jaded individual at this point in my life. I try to be optimistic on many fronts. But when it comes to power, politics, entertainers, sports figures, anybody in the 1%, I don't put it past anybody with that kind of swag and that kind of money and that kind of cachet. Do you guys?
In my opinion, I think that what I don't understand is if they were trying to protect somebody first and foremost, then why promise it?
Mm-hmm.
Why even talk about it?
Agreed.
So that makes no sense to me.
Okay.
And why would Pam Bondi say to doing that interview with Fox News with Jesse Waters that we played last week, why would she say this is on my desk? So either she didn't realize that she didn't have everything, or, I mean, I know they're busy, but I think that before I go on a network show where I know that, and she says, breaking news, Jesse, breaking news. So was this a situation where she was, you know, trying to, I don't know, make a headline and give him
Pam,
the goods? But it was, that was a mistake.
Pam Bondi, we would all agree, probably a pretty smart person, right?
Yeah.
I don't think we could call her a stupid person. So I'll assume Pam Bondi's a smart person. If I'm Pam Bondi and I have the files, those binders, on my desk, and I know what they entail, does it ever cross her mind where she says, boy, once this goes public tomorrow and I release this, it's going to be a lot of people pissed at me. If I was on social media, there are going to be a lot of people in my mentions saying, this is a nothing burger. So what happened that she would release such a stinker?
I mean, the only thing I can think of, and I mentioned last week, Ehud Barak, because we knew that the former Israeli prime minister visited Epstein's home. I believe this was even way back in the day, but it's something like 36 times. And so that to me, I did mention that last week, even before it was going, like, that to me is significant. The other name that came out was Ehud Olmert. He was listed among the associates, and I never saw that name before. So there are a lot of Israeli individuals. Now, Israel, you mentioned earlier, Greg Stocker, that, you know, Trump has, he has an affinity for Israel in his previous administration, as well as this one, in keeping promises. And we know that Trump has met an awful lot with Netanyahu, right, with Bibi, who visited Mar-a-Lago multiple times, even when Trump was on the campaign trail.
So you think this could derail the relationship with past figures? Because I've got to tell you, while those are significant names in...
Well, those are huge names.
In the weeds. But I think if you were to throw out those two names again, if we put those pictures without their names up for Americans to see, almost nobody short of somebody super deep in politics or of Jewish descent would know these people.
In America.
Right.
You're looking at it from a very American, we're in Philadelphia reporting this.
Mm-hmm.
But in a worldwide view, it's kind of a big deal.
Oh,
and
yeah.
To Israel, which is a major important ally, it's a big deal. They don't want those names out.
There was an article that I think I sent you over the weekend with in the Miami Herald.
Yep.
That there's a lot of speculation that the evidence and names and all of this, the evidence could, if it's released, it could upend the Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah, which she's appealing that conviction from 2021.
Yes, because it took them a lot to get her convicted. And if all of these stuff is released right now, it's easier for her to appeal and possibly get out.
To your point, I have a couple of those excerpts in that article highlighted. There were, when they convicted her and she's appealing the 20-year sentence, there are 22 files containing over 500 pages in this FBI vault, and the bulk of the 11,000-plus pages are heavily redacted. So when you look at that, and then they do a good job on page 3 of the article. I'll tweet the link out during the commercial if you want to read it. All the things that are still in secrecy. You have Epstein's computers, which there's a part 1 and a part 2. You have the FBI vault, which Bongino talked about in that clip I played for you on Friday. It's a massive vault. And then what I said, this place was wired. We need to know about the video cameras. We need to know about...
Every room.
Everything.
Was recording.
Correct.
When they were doing whatever they were doing in those rooms.
Right.
Everybody was recorded.
Yeah. Where is that footage?
Where are those videos?
Yep.
For years.
Do you guys want to hear from Pam Bondi? Because she was on with...
I would love to hear what she can explain.
She was on with Levin on the TV, I think last night or Saturday night. I'm not sure. Roll this.
So, as you know, we released about 120 pages of documents, and I started asking for these documents right when I came into office, and before Kash Patel was in there. So I ended up getting about 120 pages, We carefully redacted them, of course, to be sure the 254 young girls, women who are victims of sex crimes and sex trafficking, their personal information was redacted and out of there to protect them. So I'm going through it and I kept saying, there has to be more. There has to be more. I'm assured that's it. Cash, ask the same questions. Assured there's no more. I found out, you know, this week that a source told me New York, SDNY, they're sitting on thousands of pages of documents regarding Epstein. Thousands. And of course, you've seen the very strong letter. We will get everything. We will have it in our possession. We will redact it, of course, to protect grand jury information and confidential witnesses. But the American people have a right to know. And Donald Trump is the most transparent president in our nation's history. So not only will America get the full Epstein files, they will get JFK. They will get Martin Luther King.
Well, that's fantastic. But I assume the Southern District of New York is or has been holding on to this information for a reason. That is, they don't like the names on the list. And, of course, we know New York is a hotbed of the Democratic Party, and that includes in legal circles. Do you think that's part of the issue here, that they're trying to protect a lot of names and individuals?
You know, Mark, I have not reviewed the information yet. And as a lawyer, as a prosecutor, I want to review everything before I make a firm conclusion. But I think it's very interesting that they withheld that from us. And I will find out who withheld it. And they will not be working for us anymore.
Right.
So once.
But here's the deal. And I said this question. The question needs to be asked by whether it's Mark Levin there or anybody that gets the opportunity to interview Pam Bondi. And she can keep saying, I'm a prosecutor. I got to look over the files. Okay, well, then. Go look over the files. Get to it already. But the question I want to be asked is, are there or is there a name or multiple names on this quote list that the American public would recognize as a notable figure that did commit some sort of sexually deviant act with a minor or a non-consenting adult? It is a yes or a no question. And it's a yes or a no answer. And I don't care if you can't reveal the name yet. But I want to know if, in fact, somebody's on that list that we're going to be like, I kind of thought that was a possibility. Until somebody asks that question, and I'm not a journalist, but you have to ask that question. You have to put Pam Bondi on the spot. If you're looking at it objectively, I'd say the same thing if it was Merrick Garland or Christopher Wray or anybody else. I want to know, yes or no, are there people out there, whether it's in Hollywood, famous politicians, global juggernaut powers, one percenters that we all know the names and faces to, is somebody like that on this list? How that question is not asked by anybody, whether it's on CNN or Fox News or on a podcast or on a live stream, that question needs to be asked relentlessly because the American people have been dying to know about this and we keep skirting around it. Ask a question, and I don't think it's a ballsy question. I think it's the top of mind thing that we're all thinking of. Somebody ask it already.
But I think I know I said this, I touched on this last week. To me, it's more about the complicity of the authorities. I mean, I'd interviewed on Friday an attorney. She represents some of the victims, some of the Epstein victims. And so the question to me is, you know, some of these victims were coming forward. They were doing the right thing. And the youngest, I think the youngest was 14 years old. And so this is a horrifying situation. So the fact that these victims were coming forward, first of all, the media seems to have been complicit, killed the story when victims were, you know, at least one victim that I know of was trying to speak out. But as well, you had law enforcement in New York. But you had Epstein, he was in the hands of the justice system, not once, but twice. Now, he did serve some prison time, but my question is, how did he just slip through the cracks, so to speak? How, you know, they had him, and yet he always seemed to avoid a major conviction. They could have put him away for life.
I mean, that was 2008 or so?
I think it was even before, wasn't it like 2004? Okay. It goes way back.
Because he was shocked when he got off of his chartered flight in 2019 and the feds were there at the end of the ramp to arrest him.
So how did he evade the law for so long. And so my feeling is, I do believe the fact that he had a whole setup with videos and whole nine yards.
Yes.
And so was, you know, did you have the intelligence community, whether it's CIA or whoever, and they tapped into that and they were able to, for the greater good, and that's what I said last week, for the greater good, they were able to deal with world leaders or important, powerful people, whatever. So that's, to me, what I think. That's the better, it explains everything.
Do you think there was something in 2019 when he was arrested? Remember, he was of the belief that he was granted immunity and he was basically free to go, so to speak, and he didn't really have anything left pending. When they arrested him in 2019, do you think that was the beginning? If you want to get real conspiratorial here, do you think that was the beginning where they say, all right, we have to apprehend him, we have to get him off of the street, we have to put him behind bars and ultimately snuff him out because this is going to get leaked out and we're going to have a lot of powerful people with egg on their face?
Well, remember, it was the former, his last name was Acosta, right?
Not Jim.
He was in the previous Trump administration, he was nominated by Trump as a cabinet member, and he had been a prosecutor in Miami at the time.
Yeah.
And so he had to resign because people said that there were too many people who let Epstein slip through the cracks.
Well,
back in the day.
PA Pyrotechnic fan on the YouTube chat says, Bondi's the one who gave Epstein the sweetheart deal in 2008.
Well, that's, yeah, she was the, she was
she
a prosecutor. Yeah. That's right. So, wow.
Alex Acosta was the one
Let's double check and make sure that, I know she was, because she went from Florida, where was she at before the being Florida Attorney General? Was she a Dade County prosecutor? I forget what municipality this Epstein stuff was prosecuted on locally, or maybe it was a federal district in Florida. We should get some of those details, because if that's true, then that speaks volumes. Who's Pam Bondi protecting?
I don't think she is. Why? That makes no sense. Why would she then, like, she might have been there in Florida, but she was not in charge, to my recollection. And Alex Acosta was the one who was there and had some power.
All right, I'll pull up Bondi's
Alex Acosta
resume.
Was the one. If you remember this, in 2019, Trump had nominated him for a labor secretary, I believe, and he had to resign because of his involvement in the Epstein case back in the day. Pam Bondi, it doesn't ring true. If you know,
somebody get me Bondi's resume on this desk immediately. Where's Bondi's resume? Get her Wikipedia in here.
Bundy.
L. Bundy. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to
Harry's. Harry's waiting patiently.
Harry's waiting patiently.
We're bloviating on and blowing past the cut sheet like we always do.
Hopefully he has some strong takes on Ukraine and things like that. We'll get to H.W. Mays on the other side.
Let's go, Harry!
He's ready to go for a Monday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. You will find out, just like the rest of us, coming up next. Stay right there.
You know, when choosing a lawn care service, doesn't it just make sense? You hire a company that's going to provide better results and is actually safer for your family and your pets. That's why I've chosen Natural Lawn of America for years now. That's my family's lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without all those harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and your pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. Don't just take my word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners who are switching to Natural Lawn safer services. Start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today. That's what I have, the full service program. You get free seeding every year. If you want greener, healthier lawn, you want Natural Lawn of America plus the free seeding, call Natural Lawn 800-FREE-SEED, 800-FREESWED, 1-800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Natural Lawn of America. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's on the cut sheet?
And what a day to bring this up to What's on the Cut Sheet on this Monday, sponsored by Rita's Italian Ice. Ah, the sweet sound of Rita season. Rita's is now open, and it's time to celebrate with a delicious gelati, refreshing ice, or a frozen coffee pick. Refreshing coffee pick-me-up. Excuse me, this copy's not written properly. Download the app to earn rewards and get to Rita's for ice, custard, and happiness. Thank you, Rita's. Yeah. I can't believe... Wait, March?
I took the girls. They're open. I took the girls on Thursday.
I thought it was always the first day of spring.
No, they goaded me into going.
Yeah, yeah.
I caved quicker than Zelensky.
I need that app. I'm going to download it right now.
$23, by the way, for three things.
Talk amongst yourselves as I'm downloading the Rita's app.
Yeah. You believe that? I got a chocolate custard, and my girls, one of them got a large gelati.
Gelati.
And another one got the frozen lemonade. $23. I financed it.
All right, let's get down to business, shall we? I mean, we're wasting too much time.
Let's get it back to Zelensky.
Come on. We're 10 minutes late for the cut sheet. All right, let's start. Dawn brought up a very good point in the 6 o'clock hour when we were discussing the Trump-Zelensky thing about how it started off very cordial. And I kind of wanted to... I deliberately picked the cuts I did because I kind of wanted to go through it in a way. And we played the, you know, how the blow up with J.D. Vance started in the 6 o'clock hour. I'm not going to replay it. If you missed it, go back on the Odyssey app and hit the rewind button. It started out with Trump and Zelensky discussing the Ukraine mineral deal. This is cut one, Phil. Starting off very cordial. Roll it.
How much money is the U.S. going to put into the fund that is being created today? And how does this provide long-term security for Ukraine?
Well, we don't know exactly how much because we're going to be putting some money in a fund that we're going to get from the raw earth that we're going to be taking and sharing in terms of revenue. So it's going to be a lot of money will be made from the sale and from the use of raw earth. And as you know, our country doesn't have much raw earth. We have a lot of oil and gas, but we don't have a lot of the raw earth. And what we do have is protected by the environmentalists. But that can be unprotected, but still it's not very much. They have among the best in the world in terms of raw earth. So we're going to be using that, taking it, using it for all of the things we do, including AI and including weapons and the military. And it's really going to very much satisfy our needs. So something that just worked out really well. We have a lot of oil and we have a lot of gas. We have a lot, but we don't have raw earth. So this has just about every component of the raw earth that we need for computers, for all of the things we do. This puts us in great shape.
I mean, the minerals deal was a big portion of this gathering and this sit down. And, you know, Harry, you're a guy who outside of radio has a business background and a finance background. I mean, this was something where America was set to benefit a little bit from as well. So it's not only Zelensky that loses out on, you know, peace and protecting and getting bodies to be safe and things like that. You know, on the other side, America loses out a little bit as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, until they get the deal done, I think this is, you know, this will eventually get done. It's got to get done because Zelensky, you know, he's got no power. I mean, he's, you know, Trump just tells you right out, like, you've got no cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we're going to make, they'll make a deal. I really believe that a deal will get done.
You're right. I mean, to use a poker analogy, I mean, Zelensky's not sitting there playing Texas Hold'em and looking down at, you know, pocket kings and, you know, the big chip stack at the table. He doesn't have great cards and he doesn't have a whole lot of chips left.
No, he doesn't. He had that look on his face that you get when you go to the ATM machine and you punch in the code and you're expecting to get your money and it says insufficient funds.
Been
comes
there.
Out a little slip.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then you mutter, Sukas Blyat.
That's a real mutter.
Yes.
We need that on a t-shirt.
I know. I wish Zelensky would have been a little bit more audible with that so that we could have used that as a drop.
Yeah.
But I will say he was yesterday, right? He said in the UK where he was meeting with European leaders,
he did say that he's ready
to sign the deal.
Yeah.
So he did declare, he did say that.
Well,
so.
we have, because he went on with Brett Baer later that evening. So we have that coming up. Everybody just, you know, just sit back. I'm sure you're stuck in traffic. We have plenty of time. Everybody don't get ahead of ourselves here.
But, I mean, he said it yesterday.
Oh, says the guy at 6:02 that comes out and blows through the cut sheet right out of the gate. Gives us three takes on three topics before the news.
He was meeting with Little Macron and those dudes yesterday. So I have every confidence that he's going to sign.
He couldn't beg from us anymore, so he begged from them.
That's right.
Macron.
This minerals deal, I think it's worth exploring a little bit, because I know that name, that word has been thrown out there a lot. Everybody's, you know, has all of a sudden become an expert on Ukrainian
rare minerals
and Ukrainian and Russian politics.
Here in Philadelphia, it's called stealing anybody with real copper gutters. That's your rare mineral.
You know, Trump just kind of gave a cliff note version of what this deal is and what rare earth minerals Ukraine actually has. But CNN actually did a decent breakdown of it. This is cut
of
two.
Of course they did.
This is, okay.
All right, here we go. And then they're going to say, why do we need that? It's going to be too tough. You could just write this narrative.
I don't know if they say that, Dawn, but let's play it.
Titanium, for example.
Titanium.
Super strong and light. That's why it's used to make fighter jets. Lithium, of course, goes into the batteries in both cars and all the gadgets in our lives. Graphite is used in steel production. In fact, some startups are using it as thermal batteries. It's sort of the dense form of carbon. And nickel and cobalt is vital in battery supplies, also wind turbines. And most of this is found in places like Congo. A lot of cost to the environment, to the populations there as well. And so President Zelensky is saying, come to Ukraine and we can provide a lot of these sorts of things, but not all of these are equal. Like titanium, for example, pretty big reserves in the western part of the country, easy to get to, but lithium, relatively tiny little pockets, and half of it, Pam, is behind Russian occupied territory lines right now. A lot more complicated. And when it comes to nickel and cobalt as well, it's very complicated in terms of getting it out. And then before the Russian invasion, something like 80% of these deposits had even been exploited. Ukraine is very, very in the nascent stages of major industrial mining. So regardless of whatever deal is struck today, investors from the U.S. and other countries would have to pour hundreds of millions, billions of dollars, and spend up to decades just getting the infrastructure in place, especially in a country where half of their electricity grid has been devastated by this war. And for example, the lithium in Ukraine is much harder to get because of the geology there. The rocks are different than in Chile and Australia, where it's easier to produce. So a lot of complications around the plans, and certainly not enough production to have any difference in this conflict right now.
Wow. So you learn something new every day. So we would get some titanium and some graphite to make our new shafts for our golf clubs.
So is this guy a geologist? Who is this guy? He's a geologist?
Bill Weir. He's like
okay.
So is that a good trade? We get some minerals that apparently we don't have, and Zelensky gets peace, a ceasefire, and preservation of life?
Sounds like a good deal. I mean, everything's running on batteries anyway.
Yeah. I'm sick of hearing about lithium-ion batteries, by the way. I hear that one more time. I'm going to throw all my gadgets out.
And Rare Earth. Isn't that a band that Phil Almquist went to see over the summer? Remember Rare Earth from back in the early 70s?
Yeah.
Ta-da!
So we played the reporter. So Dawn, I'm guessing you're not buying what CNN.
Well, I saw that narrative coming out, and it wasn't following suit.
It wasn't really a narrative. He was just explaining what they have.
I know, but he's saying, it will cost hundreds of millions of dollars years.
It will. Like, there's nothing wrong there.
According to the United Nations, all these these other, you know, agencies, they say that Ukraine, for example, accounts for 7% of the global production of titanium. They say that they account for 5% of the global supply as far as these rare earth mineral reserves, titanium, zirconium, graphite, and lithium.
Well,
so I don't know. I mean,
if they only have 7%, then screw Ukraine. Let's shop elsewhere.
For a tiny,
yeah, we're going to Greenland.
Who's got the other 93%?
For a tiny country to have 7%, I would think that's kind of significant.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger point is that Trump is saying, can we get something, some kind of something in exchange for all of this?
Guys. And you're right. And Dawn, you're 1,000% right. Why are we just giving away weapons and cash, which, oh, by the way, is not even fully accounted for? Zelensky says there is money missing. Where did that go?
Like $100 billion.
And there's weapons that have apparently, quote, gone missing. My theory, just the theory, is that they've been selling them on the black market to other nations. Just a guess. It's amazing how Zelensky's always under attack, yet I see him on cruises and yachts posing for magazines. Like, if your country's being destroyed, shouldn't you be out there, you know, doing whatever you can on the front lines, not posing for Vanity Fair? That's just the thought I had.
The European Union lists Ukraine as having 22 of the world's 34 these critical minerals that are needed. And again, what is Trump talking about? Winning the AI race against China.
Mm-hmm. China.
So China. So I think part of this is get something. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and debate with somebody who's not a geologist.
Like me?
When I was, no, not you.
Oh.
Bill Weir.
Okay.
Because when I was in geology in college, I fell in love with this really cute tennis player named Mark. And then I had to retake it. So I didn't do so well in geology. It just made me think of that really cute guy. With
Dawn bombed
legs.
The final exam.
Wow.
Like, I went there. You know,
I want to hear more about
God,
this.
Remember him?
I want to know how a broadcast how does a journalism major take a geology class?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Guy.
What were your elective options?
It's a really cute guy, and we went on all those field trips.
Man,
so that's where you. That's
getting
okay.
to know Dawn.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Dawn went coal mining with the guy.
I just feel like it's good to know because 90% of the people are like, "Yeah, we need this deal. We need this." I'm not saying it's a bad deal. I'm sure it's a good deal, but everybody's sitting here nodding in agreement. We need this deal, or no, we, you know, this isn't a good deal. 90% of the people have no idea what they're talking about.
We need those
minerals anyway. If we're not going to get them from Ukraine, where are we going to get them?
Oh, yeah. Where are we going to get titanium and graphite driver heads and shafts at the golf shop?
No, we get those from Japan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where they make all the stuff.
All right. So if Ukraine has 7% of this resource,
yep.
What are they the leader at 7%, or is there a country that has a bigger percentage share of the marketplace? Then, because if that's the case, we could tell Ukraine, okay, that's fine. Business elsewhere.
Well, Russia and Africa.
I'm sure the United States of America. I mean, that was something that Burgum talked about.
Trump says that we don't.
We don't have a lot of rare earth.
Yeah, Trump says we have a little bit of the land, but not the minerals.
Yeah.
How's that possible, by the way?
All right. So earlier we played, because I wanted to set up the how this thing escalated and turned the way it did. We played the reporter's question, then Trump answered, then Zelensky started talking about the history of the conflict, mm-hmm. and he questioned. It sounded to me like he was questioning JD's knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
So then JD responded, "Vice President Vance, excuse me, I want to be respectful to the office, Vice President Vance." No, I do. Vice President of Office, Vice President Vance's response to Zelensky. This is cut 5. Phil, go.
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you are not strong...
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come to the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the President for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring people, you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military?
Do we have problems?
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, Everybody has problems. Even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future. God bless.
You don't know that.
God bless. You don't God bless. You will not have a problem.
Don't tell us
what does that mean?
Yeah.
We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no position to dictate that.
That's
remember
exactly
this.
I'm not
you're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good.
You will feel influence.
We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and he happens to be right about it.
From the very beginning of the war,
you're not in a good position.
This sounds like cable news.
Unless you start having cards. Right now, you don't. You're playing cards.
I'm very serious.
You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country.
It's with back all to respect you. To you.
Far God. More than a lot of people said they respect. Should have.
Have you said thank you once?
A lot of times.
That was JD.
No,
even today.
You said thank
even
you.
Today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Oh. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
Pretty amazing stuff there.
It's
I mean,
incredible.
That's a guy, first of all, sounds like Patrick Mahomes with laryngitis. Secondly, this guy was in Pennsylvania autographing artillery shells with Josh Shapiro during the 2024 election in September. You want to talk about election interference? I mean, why is he campaigning on behalf of the Democrats? Well, because they've been funneling him money for
giving him money.
Years. Yes. Yeah. And he knows the fund is going to dry up with Trump. These wars
it already
are,
has.
Yes. And thank God.
Well, I think they're going to agree to it. I'll just say this. Harry, earlier I said this, and I'll say it for you, that this guy, Dmitriev Kirsanov, who is a TASS TASS reporter, was escorted out of the Oval. This guy is Russian state media, was in the Oval right there, and you see all of a sudden that this is not widely being reported. Secret Service, during this whole thing, Secret Service identifies the guy, they motion to him, and they escort him out. And they've not offered any explanation. I'm just wondering if this guy who Zelensky would know, is he now grandstanding because he sees Russian state media a representative there? I don't have the answer.
Just trying to put on a show?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, could very well be.
He is an actor.
I just looked this up, by the way, because I wanted to get more of a perspective as to how big Russia is compared to Ukraine.
It's huge.
Russia is 25 times the size of Texas, okay?
Right.
Ukraine is slightly smaller than Texas. So geographically speaking, we're talking about a 25-to-1 advantage. So when Trump sits there and says, you'd be toast in 2 weeks, I don't think he's wrong, right?
Without us.
Without us, correct.
Right.
So
right.
This guy to sit there and say, well, you've been to Ukraine one time. All right, and Kamala Harris went to the border one time. But we still know a problem when we see one, and we can still come up with a end goal solution. And the end goal solution for this current administration, which Americans voted for, is to end the war and stop the federal funding, our tax dollars, going to Ukraine for a pointless war. They'll never win. All we're doing is keeping Ukraine on life support, basically.
Yes.
We can't take them off of life support, and they're never going to regain all their bodily functions. If we pull the plug on it, they're toast. End of discussion.
Well, wasn't that amazing, though, just watching that transpire?
Like
that's what goes on, most likely, when these countries get together behind closed doors. You know, and then they have the photo ops where everybody's shaking hands and, hugging and, when they come and when they leave. But that stuff goes on.
All the time,
we saw it.
Yes.
It's really amazing.
That's the thing with everybody outraged about this. It's like
the
only difference is that there were TV cameras there. That's it.
Right.
Like, this stuff happens all the time.
All the time.
And for all the people that are offended by, oh, my God, Trump and Vance were not cordial and respectful. wait a minute. This is exactly what happens behind closed doors.
Yes.
You saw, so what you're telling me, Snowflake out there that's offended, is you would rather them see them put on a little song and dance of clapping and holding hands and shaking hands and smiling and I love you, Zelensky. So you'd rather have your own intelligence insulted than actually be given the truth directly to your face. These are the same people that can't handle the truth in any walk of life. They're the same ones. Like,
oh, don't you bring up the fact that Santa Claus is fake? My kid might be listening.
Oh, well, you're gonna find out eventually.
So to that point, in 2022, this is cut 26, Phil. If you have this here, this was either an NBC or an MSNBC news report about Joe Biden losing his temper with Zelensky. Roll this.
News has new exclusive reporting about a phone call that happened between President Biden and the Ukrainian president back in June. What do we know about that conversation, Courtney?
Yeah, that's right, Kate. So in this conversation, President Biden called President Zelensky to tell him about a roughly $1 billion package of additional equipment and weapons for the Ukrainian military coming from the United States. During the course of the call, President Zelensky continued, according to a number of officials who we spoke with who are familiar with the call, President Zelensky continued to talk about the additional equipment and weapons and support that he and his military needed. According to these officials, they said that President Biden finally just got frustrated and lost his temper and told President Zelensky, look, you could be a little bit more grateful. The reason that this story is interesting to us and is something that we are reporting on and officials are speaking to us about is because it shows that all these months ago, President Biden already realized that there was going to be a point where the American people, members of Congress, where people would start potentially pushing back on all these billions and billions of dollars of aid and equipment that the U.S. has been providing to Ukraine. And he knew that the narrative out there needed to be that the Ukrainian people and President Zelensky were grateful for it if this was the support was going to continue at that same level, Kate.
There you go. So, I mean, to that point that Harry made, this happens all the time. It's just that it wasn't on camera.
And to the
we don't see it.
The point that she's making there at the end, that Biden knew that Americans' tolerance and patience for the funding of this endless war would eventually dry up. Well, that time has came. I want to read you. Come, came, run, ran.
By the way, in
watch yourself.
I know. In 2023, just back to CNN. You know, go. You know, becoming geologists and the rocks are more difficult in Ukraine. Whatever. So in 2023, the U.S. Geological Survey released all kinds of information about this, but they said that Ukraine contains very large deposits of uranium, lithium, and titanium, among other of these rare earths. And so I just want to point that out, that the narrative has changed all of a sudden, but, by all accounts, Ukraine has, a lot of these minerals, rare earths, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we learned during the pandemic and even moving forward that a lot of this stuff we're reliant on China for this right now. So the goal is to find everybody and anybody where we can get these rare earth minerals for AI and that production.
Doesn't Canada have a lot of it, too?
I think they do. Russia, though, the latest this morning is Putin now has joined in and said, oh, we'll do a rare earths deal with you. So.
Okay. Frank Luntz, Republican pollster, tweeted over the weekend, the United States isn't changing. It has changed. 3 years ago, Americans were overwhelmingly supportive of Ukraine, and they considered Zelensky to be a global hero. Today, a majority of Americans oppose the war, and Zelensky is now a controversial character. He's got two polls that he posted. The first poll question, 191,000 respondents. After yesterday's White House meeting, whom are you angrier at, Zelensky or Trump and Vance? 91% at Zelensky. And then the second poll question about Ukraine. At this point in the Russia-Ukraine war, whom are you more sympathetic towards? 48,000 respondents, almost a coin flip. In fact, 52% favor Putin over Zelensky. Now, Phil, let's roll this. This is clip K5, Harry Enten, Saturday morning after the tussle in the Oval Office. Let's watch this clip.
my goodness gracious, you see a trend line just sort of jump out at you off the screen, right? So Republicans who want the Russia-Ukraine war to end, even if Russia keeps the captured land, you go back to August of 2022, which is 46% of Republicans. You look by October of 2023, it was 55% of Republicans. But again, look at where we were. By the end of last year, 74% of Republicans, my goodness gracious, this is the type of trend line that leads to what we saw in the White House yesterday, whereby Republicans have changed their point of view on this war tremendously from where they were 2 years ago, let alone 3 years ago, back in August of 2022. The bottom line is that Republicans want this war to end, even if it means that Russia keeps the captured land from Ukraine, Jessica.
It is an incredible trend line that you map out there. What about Republican feelings toward Vladimir Zelensky?
Yeah, I mean, again, what we saw yesterday in the White House is just a clear illustration of where Republicans are on this issue. Republicans on Zelensky doing the right thing when it comes to world affairs. 67% back in 2022 believe that he will do the right thing, compared to just 32% said he wouldn't. Look at where we were by last year, though. 55%, the clear majority, say that he won't do the right thing. He won't do the right thing. So yesterday in the White House, I think a lot of Republicans felt there was an illustration of that, compared to just 34%. Look at that, a 33-point drop from where we were in 2022, who said he will. The bottom line is, I think yesterday confirmed the priors for Republicans who believe Zelensky will not do the right thing when it comes to world affairs.
All right, you can stop it right there, Phil. Thank you very much. So this is my stance, Harry. I mean, yeah, does Russia have more land than they had before the invasion? Yes, but you can mitigate your damages now, preserve life, do a business deal with the United States for these minerals that they have, and apparently we don't, and then you kind of look like a little bit of a hero and save some face, and you can tell your people in your country that I got something accomplished, yet he seems to be very ungrateful and is pushing for more, when I don't think he has the leverage to push for more.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, somebody's telling him to do this. I mean, he's you think he's coming in there on his own and, you know, balking at the president and the vice president? He's controlled by somebody, or BlackRock, you know, whatever it is. The military industrial complex is controlling him, whatever
that
it is.
That wants to keep this going, right?
Sure. Exactly. Yeah, sure. Exactly.
Which is the same thing here, I think. You know, if people in America that are pushing for this, that are in the political spectrum, to continue, because they keep feeding the war machine. I actually think civilian-wise, the only people that are still saying, you know, fight, fight, fight for Ukraine are the same 58-year-old liberal women in Bluebell with masks on, BLM signs, and Ukrainian flags in their Twitter profile.
No. The people in Lower Marion, those people that had I stand with Ukraine, they've all already taken those signs to the dumpster.
Oh!
I'm telling you.
Wow!
Support is waning Lower Marion.
Have they replaced them with something else, Harry?
No, just we don't have a new cause yet.
Yeah, new cause. This home believes in science and blah, blah, blah.
Has no place here or something like that, yes.
Speaking of the deal, during this meeting, Trump to Zelensky, this is cut seven. Phil, he says, you either make the deal or we're out. Cut seven, roll it.
But let me tell you, Putin went through a hell of a lot with me. He went through a phony witch hunt where they used him and Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. You ever hear of that deal? That was a phony Hunter Biden, Joe Biden scam. Hillary Clinton, Shifty Adam Schiff. It was a Democrat scam. And he had to go through that. And he did go through it. We didn't end up in a war. And he went through it. He was accused of all that stuff. He had nothing to do with it. It came out of Hunter Biden's bathroom. It came out of Hunter Biden's bedroom. It was disgusting. And then they said, oh, the laptop from hell was made by Russia, the 51 agents. The whole thing was a scam. And he had to put up with that. He was being accused of all that stuff. All I can say is this. He might have broken deals with Obama and Bush, and he might have broken them with Biden. He did, maybe. Maybe he didn't. I don't know what happened. But he didn't break them with me. He wants to make a deal. I don't know if he can make a deal. The problem is, I've empowered you to be a tough guy. And I don't think you'd be a tough guy without the United States. And your people are very brave. But you're either going to make a deal or we're out. And if we're out, you'll fight it out. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but you'll fight it out. But you don't have the cards. But once we sign that deal,
you're in a much better position, but you're not acting at all thankful. And that's not a nice thing. I'll be honest, that's not a nice thing.
Speaking of being out, the New York Times reporting that Trump is meeting with his aides today to discuss canceling U.S. military aid to Ukraine.
Well, that'll do it.
Courtesy of the New York Times.
But I'm not going to feel bad for Putin. You know what I mean?
Well, no. Well, I mean, he did. Trump did seem very sympathetic to Putin in that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That Putin's clip. A skunk too. Yeah.
Well, because he's trying to just get the deal done. That's the goal here.
Putin's the worst. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. Yes, but the fact that we have to even
some people
say
do. Don. Some,
no, we're not forgetting some people it, do. Greg.
Okay.
It's just get the deal done.
Some people do.
Some people do.
Saying Putin's bad is like saying Hitler's bad. We all know that already, right?
Do we?
I think so.
I don't know if we do, guys. I don't know if we do.
I think those of us that look at it objectively, we all realize Putin is, you know, the devil reincarnated. He would love nothing more to reestablish the Soviet Union.
We can just keep
like that.
Reinforcing that every once in a while.
Yes. There's a generation of people out there who, question the Holocaust. There's a generation of people out there who think
there's
Osama
not an
bin
entire
Laden.
Generation.
There's a tiny percent of people. There's people who are questioning Osama bin Laden's motives and, you know, maybe he had a point.
Tiny percent.
Okay.
Tiny.
Then maybe it's a tiny percent too that support Putin, but there is support out there for this. I'm telling you.
There's people that question the Holocaust. Really?
Yeah. Because as time goes on, as we get fat, lazy, and stupid, we forget things. So then Zelensky went on the Bret Baier program. Let's start here with cut nine on what happened at the White House. This is cut nine.
So I'm not hearing from you, Mr. President, a thought that you owe the president an apology.
No, I respect the president and I respect American people. And if I think that we have to be very open and very honest. And I'm not sure that we did something bad. I think maybe sometimes some things we have to discuss out of media, with all respect to democracy and to a free media, but there are things that where we have to understand the position of Ukraine and Ukrainians, and I think that is the most important thing. Yes, we are partners. You know, we are very close partners. We have to be fair. We have to be very free.
You know, I'm just thinking about this right now as I'm watching Zelensky. As much as I dislike him, and I don't hate the guy, but I actually have more disdain, I think, right now in my soul for the American media than I actually do Zelensky. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine? The American media is trying to denigrate the current president for brokering peace. That is somehow a negative way about running your administration. I don't want wars. I want deals to be made and people to stop dying. And that, you know, which is really fascinating because in one hand, the media calls him Hitler, Trump, right? And what did Hitler do? He killed millions of people. Trump's trying to preserve life.
Right.
And yet you want to still call him Hitler? Right. I don't know that you can have it both ways, folks.
What was that logo on Zelensky's outfit?
I think it's
ripping some kind of brand.
It might be a Ukrainian golf company.
Exactly. Like the Peter Millar of Ukraine.
Yeah, and while we're at it, we should talk about his because Harry, you've taken me to a couple of nice private golf courses where you were very instructive pre-round.
Make sure your shirt's tucked
make sure
in.
Yeah, don't be putting your belt on in the parking
lot. Put your
lot.
Shoes
get
on
a,
in
get
the
a
parking
shoe
lot.
Bag, you schmuck.
Exactly.
Don't
exactly.
embarrass me. And here's this guy looking for more handouts. And he comes in dressed like he raided a TJ Maxx.
He's in his jumpsuit. But, you know, Musk doesn't wear a suit, though, either.
And he's a slob, too.
Yeah, he looks terrible.
I have a question for you guys. If this happens, you know, if this deal doesn't happen or whatever.
It's going to happen.
It'll happen.
And
Zelensky said yesterday in the EU to little Macron and all those little dudes over there. He said, "Hey, we'll do something."
But there's conditions, right? Like he needs to step down or something. Isn't there like conditions
He offered to step down. He did.
So Vladimir Putin, Russia can install some puppet in there.
Well, but he remember this is a guy who declared martial law and canceled elections. So if he actually gets peace, in theory, his clock is ticking and he's on his way out of office, right? He's only in office right now, in theory, because the election was suspended.
Well, then they could hold another election.
Well, we don't know how popular or unpopular he is.
We don't for sure.
Because the polling numbers that came out of there have been, you know, wrong.
Yeah, okay. you
well,
believe those?
Or skewed or
I don't
whatever.
I don't believe American polls.
Right, I don't. Exactly.
Right? But Zelensky, so what they should do is, they should go, first of all, he took over the media as well.
Yes.
And so they should have, they should go back
well, luckily,
to restoring their election.
Luckily, there's a fair and balanced media in Russia, so.
Right.
Do you know what they do? Do you know what they do in Russia to anybody, how they destroy them? They put out, they'll make social media and they use AI, but the number one thing they do is go, this person is gay. That's how they, that's like their number one thing.
Social media.
Oh, that's how you discredit people
thing.
Over there?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
All right. So Zelensky on whether he'd sign a deal with Putin. This is cut 10. Phil, roll it.
Do you want to continue fighting? Do you want peace? And if he had the opportunity to go back to the White House right now, would you do it?
No. First of all, we want peace. That's why I'm in the United States. That's why I visited President Trump. And thanks for invitation again. The deal on minerals is the first step to security guarantees. It's meant for the peace, closer to peace. That's why I'm here. And we have tough situation to understand it is to be in Ukraine. You saw it, Brad. You was once. Thank you again. So I think that's very important to understand what's going on. But I respect my soldiers. And our people, our civilians who work and support our warriors, I can't say just stop. Nobody will stop because everybody afraid that Putin will come back tomorrow. We want just and lasting peace. It's true. We want security guarantees. We raise this topic about NATO the quickest way, but not all the countries are on this side. I said, okay, if not NATO, nobody is pushing. If not NATO, let's build NATO in Ukraine. That's my position. Europeans are ready to have contingents on our territory, boots on the ground. United States thinks maybe to help, maybe USA backstop have to be just to guarantee that they are with Europeans. Look at Europe. It's strong. It became stronger, but they also want to have allies like the United States. That's what I said. I just want to understand what the peace. It's not my question, Brad. This is the question from all our people.
You mentioned when I travel.
He talks about respecting his soldiers. I just looked this up. According to Politico Europe, I guess there's a European edition of Politico, as of December 8th, 2024, Ukraine has lost 430,000 lives. So, I mean, you're getting a chance here at a peace deal. And, oh, by the way, yeah, the military funding and the foreign aid will dry up, but you're obviously going to be compensated in some form or fashion for your minerals. I don't know. Seems like a decent deal for somebody that really doesn't have many bargaining chips.
Zelensky still claims he doesn't know where the money is.
Yeah, it's amazing how people just lose this. I can't.
Like $100 billion.
Yeah, he said in documents. Yes, it's $183 billion, but we only received $100 billion.
So there's $83 billion missing.
Well, he's saying they didn't receive it, and so that you could also infer that maybe there were some hands out that got their vig.
Oh,
yeah. Right.
I think you're absolutely right on that one.
The way that he worded it. We only received such and such amount.
Well,
only
to Don's point. Let's play that here and just we can parse the words. Roll it, Phil. This is 12.
Americans are worried about where the money has gone.
Yeah.
Will there be a very rigorous accounting of where the money has gone? It seems like there is some question about whether it's corruption or sold military equipment.
No, it can't be so. 100 billions we've got during 3 years.
183 from the U.S.
Yeah. Now, on the paper, in the documents, yes. But we have, in fact, because 67 came like a weapon. It came through the border. It's checked and it's fixed by everybody. And we shared it not once with the American side. And 31.5, it was direct financial support to the budget. Again, it's very open, it's digitalized, it's open, free, and please, if somebody wants to check it again, we are very, very open with this.
Very, very open with it. Very, very with a W.
How much is in his DraftKings account?
Yeah, exactly.
Or FanDuel.
Right. I think he took Russia on the money line here.
Exactly. You know, by the way, yeah. I think that's the coat of arms of the Ukraine. That's the symbol on his his sweater there. Yeah.
You going to wear that on your golf hat this
year? His uniform. Yeah. No, I don't know.
Okay. You know what's amazing is we've got Americans that can't afford the 20% increase in their groceries or the 30% increase in their utility bills and their electric and things like that. You know, we've got people that they're not going to be able to buy a home because interest rates are at 7%. All these things where, you know, whether it's necessities or some luxuries in life, we can't get to these days because of the cost of everything with money being what it is. Yet these guys, whether it's Russia, Ukraine, the United States government, Doge, all this money just being tossed around like it's monopoly money, right? And it's just lost and unaccounted for. And then you talk about all the COVID fraud we had with COVID funding and things like that. Mm-hmm. The sheer volume of cash that has just been urinated away is just outrageous the last 5 years.
It's been going on for a while.
I know. I'm just saying since the pandemic with inflation and stuff.
SNL's cold open spoofed the Trump-Zelensky White House meeting.
Who's hosting this week?
It was Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you what, they really like him again, don't they?
Well, his opening monologue was really bad.
Oh, it was bad?
It was? You watched it?
Yeah, yeah.
It was really bad. Had I have known Gillis was on, I would have watched.
I give him credit for, kind of taking a, I wouldn't say pro-Trump view, but he, admitted that, he goes, you guys are liberal, you wouldn't get this or something like that. But it just wasn't, it didn't land.
Do you think Gillis is a little overrated?
No.
He's got a good agent.
No, I love Shane Gillis. I don't think he's overrated at all. Okay. I just think that a setting like that for him, where he kind of has to stay within the bounds of the Saturday Night Live thing, I just think it doesn't work.
All right.
But I give him credit for bringing him on, even though they fired him.
Yeah. For about 6 months now, he's been getting a lot of run.
Yeah.
He's got a good agent.
Cut 22, yeah. Phil.
Well, he's talented.
Well, he served his penance, for his cancel culture stuff.
Cut 22.
Sorry if I...
You know, you say you want to end this war, but frankly, you don't have the cards, okay? I have the cards.
I got to say...
That guy sucks.
He's not... Yeah. They need Farish. He's way better.
Right.
Yeah.
And
Shane Gillis does a better impression.
He does. You're 100% right about that. And
Had him on the show. Why not let him do it?
You're 100% right about this. I don't know why they didn't have Shane Gillis, because I guess it's really all this cast member can do.
Yeah.
I don't really see him on a ton of others. Well, and I don't watch it.
You say that. So. I don't know what his real name is. I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah, we mentioned it before.
Farish is brilliant, though.
Yeah.
All right, keep rolling with this.
I have draw four. I have reverse. I have get out of jail free. The Supreme Court gave me that one. I have Pikachu and Charmander and Charizard. All I'm missing is a Charmeleon. But without us, you don't have any of the cards, okay? You got no cards. You're playing poker, and Putin's playing Magic the Gathering. And the Russians have been treated very badly with respect to the war, and also, frankly, Honora, right? Honora was misled, and she fell in love, and now she might even lose to brutalists.
I don't know.
He just comes in and out of it too much. It sounds like his natural voice too often.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good.
I agree.
The hair's pretty solid, though.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good representation.
And then, Mike, I'm not going to play, because if we play too much of this, we're going to get flagged.
Yeah.
Mike Myers came out as Elon Musk, too.
I saw a clip of that.
He was decent. He was decent as Elon Musk. Is that in this, Phil, if you fast forward a little bit of this video, is that in this video?
There he is. This roll is good. Watch this.
Roll it. Thank you.
Who shows up to the White House in a t-shirt and jeans like a garbage person?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Elon.
Hi, guys.
Elon, we love your outfit. Very official and respectful. And I love when he gets that chainsaw right next to my head.
Thanks. Donald, what are you doing in my office? You know I'm the president now, right? I'm kidding. Okay, maybe not. Maybe not. Awesome. I mean, you've got to make a joke. You know, you can really joke. I mean, legalize comedy! Come on!
There you go.
I'll tell you what, I miss Mike Myers. God, he was good.
I like Mike Myers.
Yeah. He's perfect for jumping around, like when Elon gets those little energy bursts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you remember back in the day when Mike Myers played the kid with the bike helmet on at the playground with Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm. At the end, during the credits, you know, they all come out and say goodnight. Mike Myers had a shirt on. Play it, Phil, and then Nick, you can read it.
Tate McRae, Mike Myers.
Canada is not for sale.
Not for sale. Okay.
Is Myers Canadian?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Is that his natural hair there? No. Boy, he's no.
Big hockey fan.
Okay, because Myers looks like he's really aged.
Yeah. Speaking of Canada, there was Harry, this is just for you. There was a WWE premium event over the weekend called Elimination Chamber. Did you watch it?
Oh, I missed it.
You missed it?
Oh.
It was in Toronto, okay. Canada.
Is that Saturday?
It was Saturday night.
Yeah, my son.
Yeah. It was.
Even had to watch that.
By the way,
David's welcome over anytime you want, Don. I'll babysit for the night.
I will say this: as a 4.5-year-old who's getting into wrestling right now, and his favorite wrestler is Cody Rhodes, I don't love the cursing. He doesn't need to curse. Like the go F yourself at the end, like, it's just not needed.
I haven't watched wrestling in almost 30 years.
But I'm just...
That's a lie.
Just watch VeggieTales. Stay in your lane, Stalker.
Yeah, I don't like it, you know? The Attitude Era, we got around saying things with, you know, entendres and stuff. And
it's a very interesting take.
Yeah.
Now, when was that, in the late 90s? Is that the Attitude Era?
Yeah.
It was the Austin and Rock era.
Yeah, so, that's when I checked out after that.
The reason I'm bringing this up, this has got 21, because the Canadians, because it was in Toronto, boo our national anthem during the live event. Roll this. It's amazing.
Twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming.
Well, it's a good thing we're respected in the world now.
Yeah.
Well, it's a thing now. But like, did they always do the national anthem before wrestling events?
Sure.
Kale?
Oh yeah.
Because I know you watch all this.
Damn right I do. I was home from dance just in time Saturday night to fire up Peacock.
Is that right?
You're damn right I was.
I don't take offense to that.
Yeah. You don't take offense to the national anthem, Bowie?
It was ESPN, wasn't
by
it? The sign
by Canadians?
ESPN?
Well, no, it was on Peacock.
Oh, I thought David said.
Maybe he was watching something else.
Yeah.
No, he definitely
that's what he was watching. Yeah.
By the way, spoiler alert, John Cena turns heel. Yeah. So. Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, really?
What did you say?
John Cena turns heel.
And we really need to examine that you were turned off by the F-bomb.
I'm not turned off by it. I just have my thoughts and stuff have changed now as a parent, and I don't.
He's a parent.
I don't want to see, like, my 4.5-year-old likes to watch Cody Rhodes, and he doesn't need to say go F yourself.
Do you let him watch the pay-per-views?
I don't.
No.
I let him watch the ladder match with Kevin Owens, and I shouldn't have because it was very violent. And I had to explain that to him, and it was just a bad parenting job out of me. So maybe we'll keep the wrestling off for a while.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of Elon Musk, he was on. By the way, Joe Rogan this weekend knocked it out of the park with two fabulous guests: Elon Musk and Bill Murray. And we have two clips from each. We'll start with Elon Musk on why he went hardcore for Trump. This is cut 15. Phil, go.
You put 200,000 illegals in there, and they have like a 80% likelihood of voting Dem, and it's only a matter of time before they become citizens, then those swing states will not be swing states in the future. And if they are not swing states, we'll be a permanent one-party state country. Permanent deep blue socialist state. That's what America will become.
And that was the game plan.
That was the game plan. That is still the game plan.
Yeah,
and so they almost succeeded.
Right.
If the machine of which the Kamala puppet was the representation had won, that's what would have happened. The reason I went so hardcore for Trump was because, to me, this was a fork in the road, a very obvious fork in the road. If they had another 4 years, they would legalize enough illegals in the swing states to make the swing states not swing states.
Blue.
They would be blue states.
Yep.
Right. Then they would win the presidential. They'd win the House, the Senate, and the presidency. D.C. into a state, maybe Puerto Rico, get four extra senators, pack the Supreme Court, so then you'll have the House, Judiciary, Senate, and presidency, all blue. And then they will keep importing more illegals to cement that outcome. Basically what happened in California.
I gave this audience the numbers in August, September, and October, the seven swing states from 2021 through 2024 saw an illegal immigration percentage increase ranging from 150% to over 400% in Arizona, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and the other two that I'm forgetting off the top of my head. But we saw it. It was happening.
They'd eventually turn Texas blue, too.
Give him enough time.
Yeah, he would.
That was the goal.
He's absolutely right.
Yep.
But he's hard to listen to.
He is.
He is.
He really is. Like, yeah. He and Kennedy Jr. have so many good things to say, but I can't listen to them.
Can you imagine if they had a podcast together?
Oh, my God.
No, I mean, the thing with it, we've been saying this for years, but the fact that he's saying it and that revelation to Elon Musk was one of the big, you know, turning points for him, that he realized, OMG, this is what's happening.
It's a fork in the road, he said.
And yes, and think about what he's saying. And there was a California legislator way back when who was the first lawmaker, to my knowledge, who said that out loud, that we had talked about at the time. But this has been going on for years. And I just want you to think about the fact that you are Lake and Riley's parents. Right. Or you're Jocelyn Ongary's family. And you think about, this was a horrible, evil deed that happened. In other words, all of these victims of crime, and many we are not famous, that they were just collateral damage in a Democrat plot to flood the nation with people who would vote blue. It's really evil. It's sick.
I think it's beyond the Democrats. I think it's the World Economic Forum, the whole rest of the globalists all around the world.
Yeah, but Harry, I'm talking about our fellow Americans. These are Democrats, progressive Democrats in this country, the Biden administration, and that's part of the reason that they lost big time.
Well, I mean, look, if a certain state goes blue or a certain state goes red organically based on failed policies and bad politicians,
that's fine.
That's fine. You know, I can I'll be a little angry, but I can accept
it. Right, but I can accept it.
But you know, rigging the system with illegal immigration at massive numbers.
At what cost? So these career politicians decided they didn't care who's coming in.
Right.
They weren't going to vet anybody.
Right. Well,
they open
problem.
The gates,
sure.
And they allow dangerous killers, rapists, pedophiles to flood into this country because it was more important that they would vote Democrat.
To maintain power.
Yeah. So just take that in for a moment and think about the fact that for generations, we all pay.
Yep.
We all will pay.
And it took Trump one full month in office to get the lowest border crossing numbers in a quarter
but
century.
But they're already in. That's the problem.
And I know. And
who's here among us?
And they're on their way out.
That's our guy.
You know
Tom
what I mean?
Holman.
Tom Holman shipping them out. So they were here on vacation.
Do we have any audio of him?
No, but let me give you these numbers. Homan hasn't done a media hit in 10 minutes. He'll be up on Martha McCallum today at 11. So CBS News, amid the Trump crackdown, illegal border crossings plunged to levels not seen in decades. Keep in mind, this is coming from CBS News of all places. We have not seen these numbers this low in at least 25 years. Now, keep in mind, Trump has had one full month in office, plus 9 days in January. But last month, February, Border Patrol recorded about 8,450 apprehensions. That is the lowest since the year 2000 on a fiscal year basis. And we have not seen, I mean, you'd have to go back, really. That was Clinton still in office? Or was that when Bush started? That's right. Well, basically, right? Since Bush was in for 8 years, Obama's in for 8 years, Trump's in for four, Biden's in for four. And Democrats are telling me we need a border bill? No, all you needed to do was what Trump did for 1 month, and you can set a record that we haven't seen since Y2K.
Well, and by the way, once Biden realized how unpopular it was in June, right before his disastrous debate, they reversed it, and they proved by their own action during the Biden administration that they could have done that all along. They just chose not to.
Right. And then at the end, they tried to do it to win an election.
Yeah.
By the way, could Richard Nixon have been framed? Well, according to Bill Murray, that is quite possible because of a journalist by the name of Bob Woodward. As we remember, Woodward and Bernstein, they worked for the Washington Post in the 70s, and they uncovered the Watergate scandal. Well, Bill Murray, who, as everybody here knows, was very close to the late, great John Belushi, Bob Woodward in the 80s wrote a book called Wired, which was a book. It also became a movie. I believe Michael Chiklis played Belushi in that terrible movie. Bill Murray knew very closely John Belushi. He said he got through 5 pages of that book and said it was a giant hit job. And he said it made him wonder about Bob Woodward's reporting and if anything else can be believed that Bob Woodward has said. This is Bill Murray on the Joe Rogan podcast. Roll it.
When I read Wired, the book written by, what's his name, Woodward, about Belushi, I read like 5 pages of Wired, and I went, oh my God, they framed Nixon. like, all of a sudden I went, oh my God, if this is what he writes about my friend that I've known, you know, for half of my adult life, which is completely inaccurate, talking to like the people of the outer circle getting the story, what the hell could they have done to Nixon? I just felt like, if he did this to my friend like this, and I acknowledge I only read 5 pages, but the 5 pages I read, you know, made me want to like set fire to the whole thing.
Jamie, see if you can
those
find
five
that.
Pages. I went, if he did this to Belushi, what he did to Nixon is probably soiled for me too. I can't take it. And I know you say, well, you could have two sources and everything like that, but the two sources that he had, if he had them for the Wired book, were so far outside the inner circle that it was criminal.
Wow, how about that?
How about that?
Bill Murray.
How about now, Rogan? Rogan's guest list is killer.
Yeah, that's a hell of a weekend. Elon Musk
My
and Bill
goodness.
Murray.
Yeah.
And that's a slow period. You know, it's amazing. I didn't know what Bill Murray's political leanings are. Does anybody know?
No, I don't know.
I watched that entire thing. It's not what you think.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, just because he has one. That's the problem. That's the problem with this is that 1 minute clip is released and everybody's like, well, he's on our side. Or, well, he's not on our side anymore. It's like you have to watch the entire thing. Like, no. And he actually says that. He's like, he's like, I was never a fan of Nixon. I'm not a fan of Nixon. But, like, it just made me question his reporting style if he did this hit job on my friend John Belushi, which I think is a great take.
Yeah. Do we question the fact that when you're at this point in your career where Bill Murray is, now you come out and share these views as opposed to jeopardizing your career in the heart of your prime?
In the 80s?
Right.
Well the problem, it's an interesting point. But, like, he doesn't do a ton of interviews, right?
No, which is why I'm surprised he was on Rogan of all places.
So, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't do a ton of interviews. So,
by the way, Michael Chiklis, very good in the Shield. If you've ever watched that on FX,
Great. I remember him
that's a terrific show.
Yeah, I remember him from the commish.
That's right. He was the commish, wasn't he?
Right.
Yeah. Was the commish prior to the Shield?
It was.
The commish would come on after football
on Saturday nights at
like 8 o'clock.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't really get how Nixon, how he could have framed him, because it wasn't the burglary; it was the cover up.
I just think that what he's saying is like, let's you know, because he did such a shoddy job on his friend John Belushi.
Yeah,
maybe his sourcing was all yes,
not it, the makes, glowing yes, journalist 100%. Or whatever.
So Chiklis played Belushi in
It was a terrible
Wired.
Movie. It was a terrible movie.
I can't imagine seeing him as Belushi.
No, I can't either.
Doesn't feel like a good fit. But
Phil, I don't know if you're able to pull up a scene from Wired. I don't know if that's asking too
much. Can you do that
on YouTube? I'm sure there has to be some sort of scene there. It is a god awful movie.
Yeah. Surprised I don't know it, because I'm the king of
the soundtrack. Any good?
No.
Phil will highlight it.
I want to get this in before we have to break here.
Okay.
Democratic Boston Mayor Michelle Wu offered her condolences to a man who was shot and killed in the city on Saturday. It's a very nice thing, right?
Except.
Yep.
The person was attempting to stab two people in a restaurant. Mm. So the police, he was a knife wielding man. He pulled a knife on Saturday evening and targeted two people at a Chick-fil-A before an off-duty officer shot and killed him, as an off-duty officer should.
And even get a spicy chicken sandwich and waffle fries without trying to be stabbed.
So does this incompetent boob in Boston, say thank God there was a good guy with a gun at Chick-fil-A? Hell no.
Nope.
She goes, I can't believe you shot and killed this poor lunatic.
We almost had this in Philadelphia with Helen Gim. We almost had this.
Roll this news clip.
My condolences and all of our thoughts are with the family of the individual whose life has been lost.
Our thoughts and prayers are with the family and friends of the individual who's been lost.
So our condolences go to the individual who was killed tonight.
Wow.
This is what you would have had in Philly. This is what you have in Chicago with Brandon Johnson. This is what you have in all these other blue progressive hellholes. Yep. Condolences to the scumbag.
Can Tom Holman deport them too? I know they're American citizens. Don't get all up in arms.
I don't even care that they're American.
send them to Gitmo.
Get them out.
Can you imagine?
We should send some of them out too. Yeah.
Can you imagine? Don't get me started.
It just doesn't make any sense that you would support
these people. They're just so twisted.
Right. They are.
Yeah. Right. I mean, why are you publicly backing felons and convicted criminals?
Yeah.
They don't have the ability to vote anyway, so there's no net positive for you.
Yeah, right.
Talk
about, like, you know, that's a police officer, right?
Yeah.
So she's basically saying, you know, F you to the police.
Right. I can understand, at least as a mayor, you ran on this, you got elected. District attorneys, they have to be voted in. Police chief? Really? Police chief?
All right, we really have to break.
All right, Kale and Company, back after this.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.